Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Under neon loneliness, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. England gubbed Wales and the US went through two. It's Wednesday, 30th of November. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm David College.
Easy. Go on, David.
No. Not getting involved.
Not saying it was an easy one.
First half wasn't, was it?
Come on.
Weren't singing it then, were you?
There we go. We were just keeping the powder dry. England beat Wales 3-0, Jim Campbell.
They certainly did.
They're through. The poor Welsh are out. Poor Welsh are out. Well, I mean, we're not too unhappy about that because it was England who put them out and we wanted England to win the game.
Okay, all right.
Kick them while they're down, Jim.
Yeah, it seems to be your strategy. Enjoy Twitter this week. No, it was...
I wanted us both to go through, and the US as well.
Yes.
We don't have many listeners in Iran.
No, but, you know, good luck to them as well.
Indeed. Couldn't we all go through, for crying out loud?
Yeah, I mean, if Qatar can be there, couldn't we all go through?
Oh, dear. Yeah, it was a game of two halves. And is it a coincidence that Chesney Hawks dissected those two halves, David?
Yeah, I think it might
are you aware that he performed at halftime?
I had no idea. No.
Apparently
no,
so.
No. No, I was cooking at halftime, so.
Oh well, yeah. No, it wasn't televised, or if it was, I missed it.
Oh right, yeah.
But yeah,
I mean,
Qataris will be very unhappy that the BBC didn't televise that performance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was it
furious.
On iPlayer?
I hope
the
so.
Opening ceremony was on iPlayer.
I think he needs that to have been on iPlayer. Right? That could have been another chance to get back into the big time.
He's only got one song.
Yeah.
But I mean, and then that was it.
It's only a
half
time. Apparently, you can book him and he will play that song twice, and basically any indie song you throw at him, he'll figure it out and do it for you. That's what he does now. So, I mean, a lot was made of like Dua Lipa.
Like during the set. People shouted out, play.
I don't think it's quite as improvised as that.
You might have to give Maggie May.
You might have to give him a bit of advance warning. But like, talk of Dua Lipa, Rod Stewart, all these people turning it down, and like, how many phone calls did they get before they were like, we can get Chesney Hawks?
I reckon he phoned them.
Yeah. Slid into the DMs of the FA. I'll do it.
I tell you what, he still looks great, doesn't he?
He does.
I assume I didn't see the halftime performance, sadly. Maybe Jules did, though. She was there. We should ask her. But yes, but England, that second half was much, much better. Of course, Wales started with Gareth Bale in the side. Didn't heed my advice, did you, Robbie Page? Wales, yeah, to be fair, though, I mean, at halftime, David, it was 0-0. Wales looked like they were not going to bother England at all in an attacking sense, but they kind of stood their ground and defended quite resolutely.
I think that's all they're really capable of. I don't think they've brought much to this tournament. I mean, I'm saying good riddance to them. They've not brought anything to the tournament. I thought they'd been a load of shit. Like, honestly, and yeah, I was a bit annoyed last night when it was 0-0 at half time, because I was like, Jesus Christ, this is it. They were so, so poor.
How disappointed would you be if you're a Wales fan? Because
I'd be devastated.
Because it takes... How many years to get to the World Cup? Was it 64 years, you know, since 1958? Yeah. You get there. And it's not like an insignificant side. I can't think of one off the top of my head. But, you know, sometimes you do get the vibe of a team of, we're just happy to be here.
Yeah.
They're in a group.
Oh, they've got significant players who have achieved a lot in the game. Right?
And are similarly ranked with two of the sides in the group. And the other side, the seeded side, is a rival, which sometimes... I understand it's not a the glamorous tie perhaps they might have wanted, but as it's a rival, you never know. You know, you can get yourself up for that and nerves and so on and so forth. But they didn't apply themselves, really. And it seemed to be, right, let's just sort of hang on in there and Gareth, you do your stuff. And I think that, yes, you can go out of the group stages if you're Wales. You know, that is realistic. It's not a disgrace that they've gone home after three matches. But they never really gave it a go.
No, I mean, that'll be the most disappointing, I think. And I wonder if it's because the side's really limited or if they froze a little bit. Well, what you'd expect from Wales in a you know, an international derby game, even in a tournament, is that they would snap into tackles, they would press harder, they would run, at least match you for running, but they just
can't do that with Ramsey
really
and Bale.
Passive. No, I think that's the problem. Well, they don't have the legs in the team.
Ramsey did a little bit of that against England.
But he can only do a little bit. That's the thing now.
Yeah, so I just wonder, David, you know, if it was another manager than Rob Page. And I understand, you know, you look at Rob Page's managerial career, you know, this is the pinnacle of his managerial career thus far. And that's understandable, because he's managing his own country at a World Cup. But if you will, it's not a gleaming CV. Yeah. Neither is Southgate's, by the way. Again, that is not in any way disrespectful. But you just wonder, because of what Bale's done and Ramsey have done in Wales shirts over the last, you know, how many years, it has been tremendous, and it will never, ever be forgotten what they have done. Yeah. You know, semi-final of a Euro, I know you're going back a few years now, but they qualify for the World Cup in Euros and so on. But I just wonder if, like we were saying the other day, you've got to change it. You can't just go, all right, well, more of the same, lads. Bale is he's got 20, 25 minutes in him, that's it. Really, he's looked like way off the pace.
Was it eight touches he had in the first half?
Seven or eight touches, yeah. Like way off the pace. And I just thought that they should have ripped up what they had done in qualifying and a new kind of vibe and used Bale as that impact sub. But I suppose realistically that was never going to happen.
No, I don't think it ever was. Like, look, this was like his big last hurrah. Same with Ramsey. I think they got two players there, and Johnson and James. I would have had them either side of Moore. And then just played on the break. But they didn't even play on the break. There was no commitment of numbers.
Yeah.
They were always worried about England. But I don't think you can do that in the final group game. Look, you're like, nobody had really give them a chance anyway. They were, you know, they needed a bit of a miracle, a mini miracle, to actually qualify. So why not just have a go? They're such a proud nation as well. Everybody else feeling bad. I don't want to hear that a Wales fan this morning just saying, "All right, yeah, we gave it a go. You know, we've done enough. We did enough. We tried the best we could with what we got." No, they didn't. They could have done so much more.
They played like a team that were already out.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think so. But I mean, they were playing the mighty England, of course, Jim.
Yeah.
And this was a different performance than we saw against the US. Now, even at halftime when it was 0-0, there was a bit more in...
There was some spark.
There was some spark, there was a bit of purpose,
yeah.
And there was a bit of intensity. And I think that's what frustrated me so much with the performance against the US. On paper, of course, you can, you know, 0-0 against the US, not a disaster. I mean, you hark back to 2006 when Italy won the World Cup. They drew with the US in the group, and the US, I think, went down to 9 men at one point during that game. Italy also had a man sent off. But, you know, so it was a sloppy result. So these results could happen, and the US were very, very... But it was the fact that there was no intensity.
There was no tackles or nothing. Did you see Mexico against Argentina?
Yeah.
Until they turned around with the spectacular Messi and Enzo finishes,
totally, yeah.
Mexico were right in Argentina.
Yeah.
They were absolutely cracking them. A few late tackles and finally picked up yellows. Doesn't matter. It gets everyone up. It's like, right, we're in a game. Let's absolutely rattle them.
Yeah.
I think, though, I mean, this England side, it has a lot of dynamism to it.
It
so I think part of the problem was that actually Wales, you know, with respect to them, the quality just isn't as high on an individual level when you look at a lot of those matchups to the point where actually Jordan Henderson looks a bit sort of anachronistic almost in that team. He kind of looked a little bit out of place given the players around him and how, as I say, dynamic that they are. But obviously he came in and did his job relatively
well. He's in
effectively.
There to help them press, to
exactly,
get them going.
Yeah,
he was playing cheerleader
kind of
last night.
Yeah,
was,
exactly.
You could hear him on the mics every single tackle. Every single tackle that went in, he was screaming and he was ordering everybody about as well. So he was playing this essential.
Well, essentially the captain, really.
Yeah. But it looked like a matter of time before England made the breakthrough, and obviously they did. But I think, you know, I mentioned Danny Ward on the last show I was on, and two of those goals a better goalkeeper deals with. The free kick was close enough to him that he can be doing better on that, and the third one, obviously, you know, comes off his, you know, off his own foot, nutmegs himself.
Well, so this is interesting. So Rashford, man of the match, and I think, like, you'd have to have a heart of stone not to be pleased for Rashford.
Yeah.
For what he went through, you know, his last moment for an England shirt was obviously the penalty miss in the Euros, out of the squad, not looking too good with Manchester United, but then suddenly his form turns around. Ten Hag's getting a bit more of a tune out of him. We love him, obviously, for what he's done off the field with school meals for children, all that kind of stuff. A lot going on in that man's life. So to see him smiling and scoring goals in the World Cup is beautiful. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Always nice to have a Marcus in there, of course. However, when you start to break it down, great strike from Rashford's point of view, but a better goalkeeper does save it. Now, that's no criticism to Rashford. You know, he's hit the ball in an area which is asking a big old question of the goalkeeper.
Mm. I think as well, because Rashford had a chance for a hat-trick, which was probably an easier chance. And Ward made a really good save.
Yeah, he came out really quickly.
He did.
Line,
But Rashford's second goal, if I'm Callum Wilson, I think you got lucky there, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think he probably should have played it to Wilson. But there we are. The ball did end up in the back of the net. The big question for Southgate is, of course, is does he start Rashford against Senegal?
I think so.
I
think he goes in over Sterling.
Sterling has started every big game for Southgate in tournaments.
Yeah, I know.
And was probably England's best player in the Euros.
It's quite hard to second guess Gareth Southgate if you go against him doing what he always does. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're probably right based on, you know, the facts of that in front of us, because he does love Sterling. But I think it's difficult to leave Marcus Rashford out after a performance like that, isn't it? I think Phil Foden makes a case.
I'm not starting Rashford.
No?
I'm definitely starting Foden. I'm not starting Rashford. So
right.
I'm in that camp.
Right, I see. Well, I also think, I mean Rashford, you know, again, he's on a personal kind of level. You know, he's gone through a lot. I mean, he said, you know, after he spoke about after the final, so on. And obviously Southgate went to see him in the summer because he wasn't involved in the Nations League and had a chat, and he said, this is what you need to do to get back in the England squad and so on. I think Southgate's good with that man management. You know, he lets everybody know, look, come on, the door is never closed. But with regards to who should he start, the reason why I would start Sterling is because Rashford's impact off the bench has been seen already in the tournaments. And also, now, you would hope England would have enough not for it not to go to penalties, but Rashford is a penalty taker, despite what happened in the Euros final.
Mm.
And so, actually, if you're bringing him on, you are going to bring him on, and he would be there for that kind of thing as well. And also, you would think the game would probably begin to open up a little bit more as it goes on, which would suit Rashford a bit more, I would say.
I just don't think Sterling's let England down.
No, I don't think
he's
has
not
either.
Done anything wrong.
No.
I think he's responded every single time to criticism.
Mm. Yep.
Extremely well.
And he did score a lovely goal against Iran, by the way.
Yeah, his movement's still very good. Yes, I mean, his finishing is questionable at times, but I think you might even say the same about Rashford as well. I think we had a discussion. He I think he tends to smash the ball quite a lot, and yeah. he got lucky with Danny Ward's footing because I think he should go for a more of a finesse type finish. Yeah. Rashford. So I'd be starting Sterling, Kane, Saka up front, and then Foden on the top of the midfield three.
Your top of midfield. Oh, interesting. Okay, interesting. Okay. I mean, Foden obviously was played on the flank, as was Rashford. He switched them at half time.
Excellent.
Yeah, I mean, because Foden actually starts more on the left for Manchester City.
Yeah,
he's not started that many games on the right, which is interesting because you would think he was one to cut inside on that left foot of his. But actually, you know, he looked immediately more at home on that left side.
Yeah, I think, though, that he's got the quality to play on either side. You know, we seem to, I think there's this sense with modern football in particular where you look at a player's quality and think, like, this player can only play that type of ball on that side of the pitch. And I think him and Saka and true of Rashford as well, they've got more about them than that.
Yeah, they do.
There's
but
a lot of versatility there.
There is versatility, but if you can capture what they're doing for their clubs, that they do week in, week out, that's maybe something to do. The good news is, everybody, that our Betfair popular bet build actually came through. Granted, it was because Sterling didn't start that part of the bet was voided. But England won. There were fewer than 3.5 goals. It was a draw at half-time, so we've landed £19.35, all of which goes to Prostate Cancer UK. So a victory for the Football Ramble as well.
Very much.
In some way, Jim, in some way. Did you enjoy when Harry Maguire got forward and then got into the box? And was it a cross? Was it a shot? Do we care?
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Because it was so much fun afterwards.
Yeah, that was...
I'm just going to hit this hard!
There's a point where he just absolutely sort of leathered it into the stand as well, yeah. when he probably
Yeah, but I think that was more, we're winning there.
Yeah.
But do you know what, with Maguire, actually, he was, in that first half, he's one of the more positive ones with the ball, trying to bring it out of defence and pass it.
I thought he was the same against the US as well.
Yeah.
I thought he was impressive against them. And look, I'm not a fan of Harry Maguire at all.
Yeah, but credit where credit's due.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. The last two games, he's been really impressive. And yeah, it's... He didn't let the stereotype of Harry Maguire down when he had that foray, did he not? And just like, huh?
Indeed. Yeah. With regards to Gareth Bale, he said that I'll keep going as long as I can and for as long as I'm wanted. So there's all that kind of chat there.
Retire, mate. Jesus Christ.
Can you really keep on playing a guy who hates playing club football? Is what I would say.
Yeah, I think... To be fair to Bale, he's not played a lot, has he? So I don't think this is the end of an era for Wales. Oh, absolutely. But I don't think this is him at his best, even at his current potential best. So that has to be taken into account.
But will he ever get back there? Because I don't think he will.
No. Maybe not. Maybe not.
I think it's... Like, whoever signs it, why would you sign him? You get a few sub-appearances.
He'll stay in America. Yeah. Surely.
Possibly. I don't know. But with regards to England, though, Southgate brought on Alexander-Arnold, Wilson, Phillips, Trippier and Grealish. Good for Phillips to get some minutes. Yeah. It was also good for Kyle Walker to get some minutes as well, because Walker comes in and you remind yourself what Walker brings, of course. Yeah. And if England are to go deep in this tournament, obviously Senegal are, you know, African champions and they've gone through, and we'll talk about them in a bit. So it's no gimme at all. England are favourites for that game. England could play a France or so on if indeed they do go far in the tournament, and you'll need a very fit and very pacey Kyle Walker to deal with threats, but you also need that potentially against Senegal as well. Before we move on from England, did you enjoy Jack Grealish saying that there'd been a big overreaction to the US game? This was ahead of the Wales game, and he said that when England beat Iran, we were the best thing since sliced veg.
I mean, he just needs to be protected at all costs, doesn't he?
What do you see him like?
He's
grabbing
such a pure soul.
He is. He's lovely. I hope life doesn't change him.
Uh-huh. Do you see him like?
I think it would happen by now. He seems to get more and more adorable.
Is he buttering the outside of a full unsliced loaf of bread? This is difficult to eat. This
isn't that good, you know. Yeah.
We've all evidently been darkened by life, and if we can protect one soul from that, I'll be really happy.
Indeed. The Iran versus the US. It ended 1-0 to the USA, of course. Christian Pulisic getting his goal. Pleased for him, of course. He did get a whack in the willy by the looks of it when he did that. But he was the match winner, and they are through. They will play the Dutch in the second round. Chances for Iran, of course. Pareli Ganji had a chance, that was a chance for an equaliser, of course, which would have been good enough for Iran. I mean, they'll be gutted. Yeah. When you go, and we'll talk about Ecuador in a bit, when you go into that last game just needing a point and you get done, you are distraught because you're unfancied, beaten 6-2 in the first game, and it's just America. you just need that point, and they couldn't do it.
The bravery of those players as well. It's really impossible to understand what they're going through.
Well, there was a very difficult and well documented sort of political backdrop, of course, which was going on. So you had the animosity between, well, certainly from Iran's point of view, between them and the US with regards to the whole business with the flag and so on and so forth. Then you had the business with the national anthem. They refrained from singing the national anthem against England, of course. And it was reported by a security source, it was described as, before the game, that the families of the players had been threatened back in Iran if the players failed to, as they put it, behave. And one senior Iranian politician had warned that the country will never allow anyone to insult the national anthem, of course. So a lot going on there with the Iranian players. So it's a great shame for them that they didn't qualify. You can't even imagine what it's like to get into the mindset of all that kind of stuff. But, you know, looking at it on a pure footballing sense, you know, after being beaten 6-2, they went there and they were a whisker away from going through to the second round. So it's no disgrace.
Yeah,
and the US are probably a touch better than them, you would say.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think it was an incredible effort by them. There can't be too many teams in the history of the World Cup that have arrived at a tournament on the backdrop of so much going on outside of the football. And the fact that they put that, I think in the first game, they were so conflicted. You could see it written over their faces.
That's right.
Should we be here? Should we not be here? The second game, you could kind of like see the pride and belief. I think a few of them were emotional during the national anthem as well. Yep. And that was just an epic win for them. Mm-hmm. And you could see the belief and the realization. They're like, right, we're here. Yeah. We can do something here. I want to be here. Mm-hmm. And you could see that. And then I think in this third game, I think they were maxed out, and they played a very intelligent, disciplined US side who were really well coached throughout this. And who had several, I think, really monumental individual displays.
Mm. Yeah, and the US, I mean, Weah, the lovely finish, wasn't it? It was obviously chalked off just for offside. It would have been a beautiful goal otherwise. And the US had a few chances as well. But again, with Iran, you know, it's difficult, especially if Carlos Queiroz is your manager. You go in and you just need a point. You're probably going to go and play for that point.
Yes.
But they came unstuck. And it's difficult as well when you come up against the mighty Tim Ream, Jim.
Tim Ream and Tyler Adams. Absolutely, yeah. The pair of them. Just an irresistible force.
Well, it is. And also, people often talk about club partnerships. Ream and Robinson for Fulham are used to playing next to each other, of course, and have been very, very good. And I'm delighted for people to recognise Ream, because, you know, he is in his mid-30s now. Yeah. I mean, we know Pep Guardiola is very liberal with his compliments. But he did say
to... He's not liberal, he's just... It's just
over
impossible
the top
to know what his criteria is. Well, it's very specific, but in a way that only he understands.
Yeah, well, I mean, he did say to Tim Ream recently, if you were a bit younger, then you wouldn't be, you would be playing for me. But like, Ream is, he's a quality player. I mean, I know Luke has said on the podcast before, oh, well, there's this thing at Fulham where whenever he hoofs the ball long, everyone shouts Ream. No, when he does something good, like a tackle or something, they shout Ream. He never hoofs the ball, because when Luke and I know you're listening, Luke Moore, when we went to watch them against Manchester United, which regrettably Manchester United, stole a victory, I said, right, let's count how many times Ream hoofs the ball forward. Not once. It's quite a cultured player, bearing in mind his you know, footballing culture is in the US, where they, you know, playing out from the back is a fairly newish kind of idea, like in this country as well, and a lot of other countries. His footballing CV is not like massively impressive in terms of playing cultured football and all that kind of stuff. You know, he's playing at Fulham, blah, 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 blah. He's in his mid-30s, and yet look at him.
Yeah, he's
living his best life, David.
He's definitely not a hoofer. He's a pure stopper centre-back.
Yeah.
Interceptions, tackles, headers away. Yeah, he's not a hoofer at all. And yeah, he was magnificent. And so are the midfield. I think they've got, you look, US has got the next World Cup co-host and that.
Yeah.
And you look at that young midfield in Adams, McKennie, Musa.
Yeah.
They're probably going to be the midfield three, unless somebody comes out of nowhere, potentially Gio Reyna. Again, but they are all young players.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Pulisic isn't an old head yet by any stretch. You've got Timothy Weah in there as well. There's some real talent already.
Mm-hmm. And that's good for Pulisic, you know, because it takes the pressure from him, because I think a lot of the time this whole Captain America vibe, he's got the number 10 shirt.
Yeah.
He
rises to it, though.
Yeah, but I didn't think he was that impressive last night. He put himself on the line for the goal, which was incredible, and obviously everybody loves an heroic act like that.
After you get whacked like that, you've not got much to give after.
Of course, but it was Adams who stood up and stood out for me.
He's a brilliant player.
His leadership quality was fantastic. And again, I brought it up on the other podcast when we were talking about the US, but the European influence. Playing in Europe is just there.
Yeah.
How to read games, yeah. how to manage games, it was all there from those players, especially Adams.
Yeah, indeed, it's going to be a fascinating game against the Dutch. Really looking forward to that.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, but yeah, no, the US, they're looking good. And also, they're not conceding goals. I only conceded one, and it was a penalty, and it was a bit of a rush of blood from Zimmerman.
Yeah, and Ream really bailed him out, mind. That's yeah. But you could see Zimmerman just getting a bit more confident, and Ream was really, really just puffing him up, trying to get in the mood.
That's right.
And he reacted to that really, really well, to be fair to him.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. All right, chaps, let's have a break, and then we'll talk about the Netherlands and Senegal after that.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Yo, what's up, everybody? What a beautiful day. Listen, someone just sent me the Marcus Rashford video where he confronted the fans because the fans were digging him out and he offered one of them out. But like, Marcus, stand your ground, bro. You just do your stuff, get back to where you need to be, bro, where you're playing. Fuck them fans, bro. Everybody, have a nice day, man.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Right, before we go any further, Jim, you have got something in your hands.
I do. It's an email, and it's from Mitchell, referring to Lars making the case for dual screen viewing. Mitchell says, my dad has a more complicated system of watching shows / sports. He has 4 screens going at once.
That's too much. No,
that's
no.
Four. That's horrific.
No.
F-O-U-R. The desktop computer is dedicated to whatever he's working on. His laptop is focused on work as well. He then has the television running live TV and his iPad on whatever streaming show he is watching.
No.
Full volume on everything. Can it be topped?
I mean, look,
should anyone try?
No, nobody should try. I understand that if it's a kind of... Well, I'm assuming this is in the US.
Or it's Marcelo Bielsa.
Possibly. Now, even Bielsa's not doing this. I think...
with Poland's under-17s, 19s, 21s, yeah. All on at the same time.
Because basically, like, if you're watching multiple sporting events, that's why I'm thinking it could be in the US. Because obviously Premier League, they get all the games on a Saturday afternoon all at the same time. Or I think, is NFL similar to that?
Well, no, but only one of them is sport. One of them's a TV show.
That to me is like, I don't. He can't be watching it.
Just watch one thing. Yeah. Watch the highlights later, and then maybe even watch a bit the next morning as well. You don't need to see it right there.
It's the TikTok generation,
oh,
David.
Man,
I'm too stupid to watch two things at once. Is the sad truth of it.
Yeah, Well, there we are. But I don't think it can be topped, Mitchell, and I don't think it should be topped.
Yeah.
And I think you need to talk your father down from this. At least
if you can get his attention.
Yeah.
Ha ha.
Oh dear, get in touch with us, shout at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. If indeed that has been topped, we won't believe you though. Ecuador 1, Senegal 2, the big game in Group A. It went down to the wire and it was Senegal who will play England on Sunday. The African champions beat Ecuador and it was Kalidou Koulibaly with his first international goal. Lovely finish,
Stepping
Jim.
Up. Yeah,
well,
you know,
he is sort of emotionally and physically the big man of that team, and they needed something, and it was a lovely finish.
It was a lovely finish. It's been a really sort of emotional journey for them, and that was a nice sort of capping off of it.
You're referring to the anniversary of the death of Papa Bouba Diop.
Yes, which they've mentioned quite a lot, and obviously it is a really really sad thing. I think we've kind of underestimated here
the second anniversary.
How much that has been used as, I suppose, fuel.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've come off the back of winning the AFCON as well, which is a huge, huge thing. That was this year.
Mm. Yeah, indeed. Well, Koulibaly said of Papa Bouba Diop, who, of course, played in that great Senegalese side in 2002 that went to the quarterfinals. And again, you can't underestimate how important that is for a country who don't often qualify. Was that the first time they qualified, perhaps? They've not got a long history and tradition in this tournament. And so that would have had such an impression. And he was one of the stars of that side. And then, of course, dies very prematurely. And Koulibaly said of this, you know, we wanted to do him, Papa Bouba Diop, of course, proud, and pay homage to him. He made me dream as a boy. You see, there you are. This wasn't something we wanted to let slip. I saw the videos his family posted of him. It really hit home. So to have that and to be able to win the game and dedicate it to him is absolutely glorious. And also, the Senegalese fans have been fantastic, haven't they, David?
There's just a constant rhythm.
There is.
It is incredible.
It's like we're 1-0 up, lads. Get the drums out. Yeah. We're 3-0 down, lads. Get the drums out. Yeah, it's just whatever.
It's a party.
It's glorious. It's beautiful. It really is.
For the entire 98 minutes or whatever it ends up being, they're just a constant beat. It's quite nice.
I think a lot of fans, England ones as well. I know totally different cultures, so it's like almost a bit futile.
We couldn't keep that up.
No. I'm not saying we go toe to toe with the drumming and the dancing.
Imagine the England band for 90 minutes like that. But
I won't.
50 of them.
But again, though, that is that sort of joy, and
it's
they're not
more
making
melodic.
Yeah, but the joy in those fans, you know, it is a beautiful thing, and that's one of the things the World Cup does. But they're not just making up the numbers; they're through. It's a fantastic victory against arguably a better side.
Yeah, I think they've been quite measured. They've been quite smart throughout the group stages, and they went into this game and they didn't panic. They didn't go gung ho. I think they're different to the other African sides in that they're a bit more European. They're a bit more, we're approaching this game like it's two-legged.
Is that CC's approach? Obviously played in Europe.
I think it's CC's approach.
You've got to give him credit, haven't you?
Yeah. Oh my God, his resume now with them is incredible.
Because his managerial career is basically working up through the ranks in Senegal, through the age cap teams and so on. And he's been in the charge, I think, since 2015.
Yeah, I mean, he captained that side in 2002.
Yeah, so part alongside, of that
yeah,
side.
So, yeah,
what a legend.
And that was the first time they got through the knockouts in the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
He got them their first ever AFCON title as well.
Yeah.
And then now he's got them through again here as a manager. And it's just a remarkable achievement. And and again, they were just so calm and serene against Ecuador. And don't get me wrong, I think, you know, if we're looking at the England game, which we inevitably will, I think England can beat them, of course. But, you know, you can't completely write them off. But I think England should still be happy with that draw.
Yeah, I think, all kind of joking aside, you know, if you are playing a non-seeded side in the second round, you know, you would take that, of course. And a side without the best player, Sadio Mane, it's a great shame for him.
Which they've reacted to really well. I don't know how many other good sides would react to losing their talismanic player like that. Because, I mean, he's considerably better than everybody else in the team.
Right, and then one of the other players we know a little bit about, Idrissa Gueye, picked up a booking, so won't be playing against England, so that they'll be missing him, of course, as well. But, yeah, it's a phenomenal win. And Ecuador, you know, when they played the Dutch, might have come off the pitch thinking, we could have nicked that. They really did test Louis van Gaal's side.
I mean, they're a good team, Ecuador. I know Senegal were the favourites to go through alongside the Dutch, but I mean, for a team like Ecuador to have a goal scorer essentially in Ener Valencia being so reliable is quite rare for teams at that level. So this was so close. I'm gutted for Ecuador. Actually.
Well, I think they'll have woken up this morning and they will not believe that they're not in the second round again. Just needing a point.
Essentially, it's a really tough group because Qatar are in it. So,
yeah, you know, it was always
going to be the case that all of those teams beat Qatar.
Yeah, but I think the fact that they got that draw against the Netherlands, it wasn't going to go down to goal difference. Yeah. You know, and if you think about it, I mean, the defender, was it Piero Hincapié, who just went through.
Really talented young defender as well. Yeah. Already playing in Europe, really good player. But it was just a clumsy
Well, it was a clumsy tackle, and it's just before half time. You know, you're 0-0, get in at 0-0, lads. Job done. That's fine. Mm. And then that happens. You think, oh, blimey. And then Caicedo scores, and you saw the celebration. They're like, right, lads, we're back at it. And it's that worst thing in football where you equal, you get yourself into the position you want to be in, and immediately you're pegged back.
Yeah.
It just sucks the life out of you.
They played too deep. Yeah. I think all game, they didn't do actually what they did in the previous two games. Mm. I thought in the previous two games, they took a lot of opponents out of position with their running and movement. They just didn't do it here. They sat in deep. I think, like, you know, you could say they bottled it a bit.
Well, because, and I think sometimes when, it depends what type of side you are, when you go in just needing a point, the temptation is, well, okay, let's just, whereas actually if Ecuador needed the win, they may have gone at them as we've seen them do in the previous two games, you know. And yeah, very, very sadly for them, they're out. But Senegal are through. And yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing a little bit more Alois Cisse. Hopefully not in a celebratory manner, of course. They are playing England for
crying out. That's what you want, is you want to see them, you want to see their dreams dashed.
Yeah, I suppose.
By the magnificent Three Lions.
Inadvertently, I do.
You do.
If you see what I mean.
Small little man, aren't you?
Well, physically, yes. speaking of which, El Hadj Diouf is a part of the side, is a part of the national team too. He's involved somewhere. He's an advisor to the president of the Senegalese FA. So we haven't seen him. Is he out there? I don't know. I haven't seen any.
You'd assume so.
Well, you would assume so, yeah. If he isn't, he'll certainly get involved on the weekend. When he was told that Sadio Mane was considered Senegal's best ever player, he shrugged his shoulders and said he had two African Ballon d'Ors at 22 years old without even trying that much. Yeah, so, well, you know, he's still the El Hadj Diouf that we,
yeah, absolutely,
that we know. And
if he was humble now, he'd be a bit weird.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean,
sell out. Yeah.
Does age not mellow some people?
Some people.
Some people. We can't, specify some enough in that sentence.
What's going on with former, you know, elite African strikers going about just saying wild things? Don't forget Eto'o said he was better than Henry as well. That's, and he's right, advising the Cameroon side, so they're in a similar, yeah, sort of role.
He also said Cameroon were going to win the World Cup.
Yeah, he did.
He has completely
against Senegal.
Gone off
did
the
Morocco, I think, in the final.
Oh, was the Morocco, yeah.
I mean, look, I like this Morocco side, but come on.
God, I really like them, yeah.
Yeah, but Eto'o saying that he was better than Henry, like, I don't think that's as ridiculous as you might think.
No, I mean, Eto'o is an incredible player.
He's probably my top three strikers of all time.
Right, so there you go.
But even I thought, I was like, come on, Thierry.
But like, do you need to say that, though?
No.
Yeah.
If he's been asked that question directly, it's because of the vibe.
Probably is that.
Yeah, but it's because of the vibe he's given.
Right.
he's laid the foundation for the whoever asked him that question to ask it, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
So there we are. The Netherlands beat Qatar 2-0. The tournament hosts have finished bottom of the group, of course, conceded 7 goals, the most by a host nation in the group stages. So a lot of history made by Qatar there. And all of it is unwanted, of course, which kind of goes with the territory, sadly. But with the Netherlands, Gakpo scored again, looking very, very good. He's the first man in the Netherlands history to score in the first three games of a World Cup tournament. And, you know, he's a young man, and he's being sought after, David, isn't he?
Probably another 10 million. He's just.
Is there another 10, do you think?
Stuck on his price.
Well, PSV will be delighted with that.
They will be. yeah, this is like your classic, you know, tournament, top tier tournament performance. Mm. Going to get a move off the back of it.
Yeah. I mean, he was going to get that move anyway, wasn't he? But yeah, so it's whoever buys him. Man United seem to be leading the race. Probably will pay over now. And they've got their own Man United tax on top of that.
Yep. Are you saying he's the new Karol Poborski? Is that what you are saying?
I'm saying he might already be the new Anthony.
Yeah. Oh. That's a lovely callback to old Karol, though. Yeah.
But yeah, Gakpo, he's, for PSV, he's been fantastic. He's been more coming off the wing for them, and he's been playing well, don't get me wrong, but I think in this Dutch side he's more of a centre forward.
Yeah,
but he's getting the goals.
Yeah, he's getting the goals, and he's got the build for it, he's got the body type for it as well. His combination play is very good, but he's also got a bit of individual brilliance as well. He can just pull something out of the bag if he's left up top on his own. He's been really, really impressive.
Yeah, actually, I mean, speaking of Thierry Henry, he kind of has that about him, doesn't he? Right. He was a tall striker that would play wide, and Gakpo's doing the business in the same way.
Is Gakpo a bit of a prat as well, Jim?
You and I are going to have words later.
He seems really nice, actually. He just seems really nice guy.
What do you think of Thierry Henry, though, as a pundit?
Oh, I think he's very good. I really like him. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Adds a bit of flavour. No. A bit of va-va-voom.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. A bit of var-var-voom. Yeah. No, I have been told I'm wrong on that account by Thierry himself. No. What about this, chaps? Aside from penalty shootouts, which don't count as losses with regards to FIFA rankings, Louis van Gaal has now managed 10 World Cup games without ever losing, the highest tally for any manager. He's got the bit between his teeth, and some Dutch reporters have said that watching this Dutch side is like grinding teeth.
He's so stubborn.
Yeah,
I mean, this is just a perfect reflection of the stubbornness of the man. His teams reflect it.
Yeah,
their record reflects it.
Because the Dutch have got obviously incredible football pedigree and history, but they are still
doing it Louis' way.
Well, they
not
you know,
doing that.
They want to play the West Ham way, is what
right,
I'm saying, as they call it in the Netherlands. But Louis van Gaal wants to play his way. He loves a back three. We know he loves doing it in certain ways, and he's not going to change his style, is he, David? That would be madness. But you know, he has had quite a bit of success doing it this way. How dangerous do you think the Dutch are? Because again, in terms of second round opponents, I think they'll be quite happy with the US, despite the performances that the US have been putting in.
I think they're dangerous in a robotic way, in that they don't really give up many inches.
No.
They are so well drilled and organised when it comes to, you know, going through games. And look, Van Gaal's experience is remarkable. That's always going to impact on players in a squad. And they will be very difficult to play against. But at the same time, I still feel if you were to take the lead against them and you were a good side, you could easily hold them off. That's the strange thing about them.
Right.
So, yeah.
Interesting. Well, Van Gaal did tell any Dutch journalists after the game to go home if they're bored by his team. If you don't like it, you can leave.
Yeah, it's their jobs. They can't do that.
He doesn't like criticism, let's be honest.
No.
He was complimented for his tan at one of the press conferences before the game, to which he said it was genetic. He said, "My mother lay in her coffin with rosy cheeks when she died." Blimey.
Love to spend just a day in his company.
Yeah, a day might be quite exhausting.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
But it'd be, like, worthwhile.
Need a week off afterwards. But
he's an incredible man and has had quite a bit of tragedy in his life, actually. Yeah. I wouldn't go into that now, but a remarkable man. And I think the World Cup is all the better for having him there.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Quite frankly. Talking of remarkable Dutch men, have you seen Dick Advocaat has taken his 27th managerial job, come out of retirement again at the age of 75? He's taken up the post at ADO Den Haag. You can't keep a good man down, David.
Just retire and take Bill with you.
He has retired. Honestly. He retired for the fifth time.
I know, but retire for good.
Last year.
Stop coming back.
I don't think he can.
God.
Yeah, he did, yeah. As you say, Jimmy, retired last year for the fifth time after a stint at Iraq national team manager boss. He signed his first professional contract as a player at Den Haag in 1966.
And then went on to become a manager boss.
Well, he's had remarkable longevity in the game. And he's going to have a little bit more by the looks of it.
He'll take over the Netherlands after Koeman.
Do you think?
Yeah. They just rotate through.
Do you think Koeman's going to come back?
Koeman's already definitely coming back.
Yeah, he's broken. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah,
and then after that, Louis will probably have another guy.
Yeah, fair enough, eh? Well, is Hiddink, is he in line?
He's in there as well. Yeah,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just keep that rotation going, lads. Today, gentlemen, at the World Cup, we've got Australia versus Denmark and Tunisia versus France. You would fancy France to beat Tunisia, even though Tunisia are desperate for a win. Denmark versus Australia. Can the Aussies do it, Jim?
They only need a draw, don't they?
So yes,
they
are which will set suit up for them.
That. Yeah. So it's a funny one, isn't it? Because, again, it's two teams where you want to see them both go through.
But Denmark haven't really got started.
They haven't. There is that. I think the Aussies will fancy it. But, I mean, there is a danger in playing for a draw, though, isn't there? So we'll see. I suspect Denmark will have enough. But I would love to see the Aussies get through.
I don't want either of them through. I think they're really boring.
Yeah, you fancy Tunisia to win France?
I want Tunisia through. Their fans are excellent.
They are.
The more North African teams through,
yes,
the better.
Right. Okay, fair enough. Then, of course, in the group that concerns Poland, Argentina and Saudi Arabia and Mexico, it is all to play for. That is an absolutely intriguing one.
Yeah.
What do you see happening? I think Argentina will beat Poland and I think they will actually top the group, and it's all about Saudi Arabia versus Mexico. And I think Ave Ronaldo men might register a famous victory there.
In the dressing room, just play highlights of that the Argentina game.
Yeah.
Get everybody fired up with that.
Uh-huh.
And then just go into it.
We want Harvey the Fox in the next round.
Oh, yes.
And the Saudi Arabian fans have been great as well.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Yeah. And it's also, look, because the hosts have been absolutely pathetic. They're clearly switching over to the Saudi. Yeah. The Qataris now backing them. So you've kind of got these two fan bases coming together. Yeah, so, yeah. it would be nice just to have still like a little bit of atmosphere throughout the tournament.
Definitely. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Tomorrow, everybody, it's on the continent. Dotton is joined by Andy, of course, and Jonathan Johnson. We'll be back very, very soon, of course, to talk about all of this good World Cup action. Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, David Cartledge.
Thank you, my man.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.